Okay, praise the Lord. Good to have you here today. I will have to say that I had a good weekend this weekend so far. I went to my 55th high school
reunion.
Yeah, I couldn't think of the words. Yeah, I know I'm not that old. I don't know how that happened. I will have to say I met some old people down there. Oh, goodness. I will have to tell you that one of the ladies that was there, of course, you know, she said, "Well, Thurman, I know you're the same age as the rest of us. So are you feeling it yet?" And I said, "Am I feeling what?" She said, "Well, I mean, your pains and, you know, and you can't get out of bed in the morning and you're stiff." And I said, "No, I don't have any pain." She said, "Now, come on, Thurman, don't lie to us." I said, "No," I said, "whenever a pain tries to come up on me, I claim the promises of God."
Amen.
I said, "He bore my pain and removed my disease. So I call the king in remembrance of his promises." And I said, "So, no, I may be 73 like the rest of you, but," I said, "I don't have any pain."
Amen.
"I really don't. I do not have a pain. And I am so grateful that I can stand before you right now, this second, and tell you, I feel as good as I did when I was 30 or 40.
Amen.
You know, I have absolutely no pain in my body. I can work and run and play because I stand on the promises of God." And then I will have to say that while we were sitting there at the table talking, of course, now you got to remember, I've known these people forever. Forever. Went to high school with them, graduated with them, knew them forever. And they all knew I was a man of integrity. You know, I was not. There was only one thing that a couple of the ladies got with Cheryl and told her, said, "Well, when we were in high school, when Thurman bought his motorcycle, he wanted to take us for a ride," and said, I will have to say, I think two of them told her this, that we went for one ride with him, and after that, we never rode another motorcycle in our life. Well, I was a little bit crazy back in those days, you know. Like I say, except for the grace of God. Holy Lou, by the grace of God. I still think back of, I used to have a great big Harley Davidson, a white motorcycle. And I remember, if I had a son and he did something like this, if he didn't get killed doing it, I'd kill him after I caught him. But I can still remember riding down the road on the Highway 84 coming out of Goldthwait at 60 miles an hour, standing in the seat of my Harley Davidson just like this. Riding down the road, going around cars and everything else. As I relive some of those things this weekend down in my old hometown, I thought, Lord, I really kept my angel busy. But Lord, I'm so grateful, except for your grace and your mercy. That's the only reason I'm alive today. I can't believe I was such an idiot to do those kind of things. But like I say, the girls that Cheryl talked to, they said, "Well, he took us for one ride on that motorcycle, and we've never ridden another motorcycle with nobody since." Is that what they said, honey? So I ruined them for motorcycles. You know, are some of you guys in here realize, were we a little crazy when we were 18? Oh my God! No. Some of y'all are shaking your head. No. I don't believe that at all. I think you might not have been crazy with a motorcycle, but you were crazy somehow. You know, we do some crazy things, and I just think how awesome God is that He will protect us because He has a plan for us somewhere down the road. And I'm so grateful that He has brought me through all that, because I just stop and think. How easy it would have been for me to get killed. You know, how easy it would have been to die. And I just think, wow, God had a plan. And, of course, then yesterday also, I was trying to tell some of them, since nearly all of them know I'm a preacher now, and I was trying to tell them some of the miracles. You know, and I tried to tell some of them about Jenna, you know, our little lady out here, you know, that I wished I'd had pictures. Cheryl told me you should always take those with you, but I didn't. On this weekend, I didn't take any pictures of Jenna. But I tried to tell them what Jenna looked like and how her body was all scarred and had all the sores and everything. And I said, you know, I've always wondered what causes things. And so when the Lord put me in the ministry, I wanted to know what makes some people sick and some people not sick. And now, just like Dave, he gave you the answer a while ago. It's a spiritual issue. That is the problem. If you do not stand on God's promises by faith, you can be sick. I mean, you know, it's so amazing. Because, I mean, I was a Christian, you know, since I was 11, and I had all kinds of sickness and disease until I got to be about 30 or 35, whatever it was, somewhere around about 35, I guess. I didn't know. I didn't know what I could do in prayer. Every time I start to talk to him, I get on the wrong side. He moves around, and I know what's going on because when he was a little guy, I don't know how we figured this out or what, but my wife took him to the doctor, and the doctor told us he had to have tubes put in his ears. Well, I didn't know enough about God to even pray. I took him to the doctor and let the doctor put tubes in his ears, and the doctor ruined one ear. So he can't hear hardly at all out of that ear. He hears fairly good out of the other one. And to think, here I am, a Christian, going to church every time the door's open, and I don't realize that I have the promises of God that I can stand on for my son. And so now today, I'm still praying for my son, for that his ear will be recovered, that he will recover, and I believe someday God's going to fix that ear. Amen. You know, I'm never going to give up. But I just stand in awe to think that when I took him to the doctor, if I'd only known the promises of God and known how to break the curses over my son and everything else, I could have gotten him healed. I wouldn't have had to go on through all that. But anyway, I didn't know. And I know that most of you are in the same boat I'm in. And you didn't know either. You know, but yesterday, as I was trying to tell the story about Jenna to some of my classmates, one of the ladies there, as I told the story, she said, well, what caused her to be like that? I said, her mother's sin. And she said, are you trying to tell me that little girl had all that sickness because of the sin of her mother? I said, yes. She said, God would never do that to nobody. He's not like that. I said, oh, yes, he is. She said, it's not true. I said, it's written in God's word. She said, well, that book was written by man, and there's a whole lot of things in that book I don't believe. I thought, wow. But you know, that's where we are today, isn't it? That's where we are. You know, we don't believe God's word. We don't believe it's an owner's manual written by the King of the universe that's invisible, that you can't see, but he wrote that book and give it to you and me so we would know how to live on this earth. Because when Dave was talking about him coming and dying and he's worthy a while ago, I thought, you know, I hope everybody in here knows this, but I guarantee I know it. He died for me. He arose again on the third day for me. I hope he did it for you too. Now, if you don't know that, if you don't know that Jesus Christ died and arose again on the third day and he did it personally for you, do you know when you die on this earth, you know where you're going? You're going to a lake of fire forever. I'm grateful that I'm not going to have to go to that place. Are you? Amen. Now, he did it for me, and I know he did it for me. And that's just like when I learned that Jesus bore my pain and he removed my disease on the cross. All I got to do is repent of sin and then drive away the enemy and I can walk in divine health. And I had to learn that, though, by faith. And when you do it, you have to believe it by faith. And we're going to continue to talk today about the enemy. We talked last week about the enemy, and we were in Ephesians chapter 6. We talked about our enemy. And before we do that, though, I'm going to open the floor today for a testimony or two. Every once in a while I do this. I don't know if we have some. Who's got a testimony they'd like to give? Who's got one? First, Tommy's got one up here. Let's take his first. Come up here and tell us what the Lord has done or what's on your heart, Tommy.
Oh, thank you. about 6 weeks ago, I came to the healing school for the first time. Then I came back last Saturday for the second time. A dear friend of mine from Abilene sent me some CDs to listen to, and I thought, well, what is this all about? So I listened, and I thought, well, that made sense. So he was kind enough about 6 weeks ago to drive from Abilene to bring me to the healing school, and I believed what I heard, and I feel like I was healed. I know I was healed because of the blood of Jesus, and I have claimed it every day since then. I was very, very sick and had lost a lot of weight this past year, and in the last 6 weeks, I have gained 19 pounds.
Wow, great. Praise the Lord.
And so I believe that I'm healed, and I claim it every day that
Amen.
I'm healed. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep believing.
I do.
Keep believing, Brother Tommy. Glory to God. Amen. We love it when people come here and get healed. And, of course, nobody loves it more than you. It makes a difference. But did Jesus say he came to give us life and give it to us more sickly?
No.
That's not what he said, was it? He came to give us life and give it to us abundantly, right, Tommy? And that doesn't include sickness and disease. But when we don't know the promises of God and don't know how to stand on the promises of God, we can be sick. But when you realize what he did for you, and he did it for me, and you claim it by faith, isn't that amazing? How in 6 weeks now he's put on 19 pounds, you said, right? Wow. Is God good or is he good?
Amen.
You keep believing that. Okay, praise the Lord. That's a great one. Do we have any other testimonies? Joseph's got one here he wants to give us. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I want to mention, first of all, that most of you know about Smith Wigglesworth, who was a real great warrior for the Lord and a healing ministry and so forth. And I just thought of this while Thurman was talking about his son who's deaf in one ear. Smith had a daughter who was deaf in both ears. And he prayed for her all his life, but she never got healed. But yet he prayed for other people, and they were just miraculously healed on the spot, just like it is with Thurman. But that's not my testimony. And sometimes these things, my testimony today is kind of complicated. It's not always directly about healing. It's a lot of other little things. Now, I told you last year about a time I had a slipped disc in my back. And Lori and I had gone to see a neurosurgeon about this and everything. And he had had tests run and so forth. And I went to the elders of the Cowboy Church down there to pray for me, but I didn't feel that like that I got healed. And I came here for Thurman to pray for me, but we missed connecting, and so I didn't have it here. And that was on Sunday. And then on the following Tuesday, I had a rabbi that Lori and I met 15 years ago. We contribute on a monthly basis through our credit union account to the Messianic Jewish Alliance of America, MJAA, which is headquartered in Pennsylvania. And this rabbi happens to be the fundraising guy for the MJAA, and he calls me every year in the month of August to make sure to see if I want to renew my contribution for another year, which we do. And that's the only time he ever calls me. But this took place in June. This was happening in the month of May and June of last year. And on Tuesday, after I had been to our elders on Thursday and then here on Sunday, on Tuesday, this rabbi called and told me that, Joseph, he says, the Lord has put you on my heart, and he says you have a problem. He wants me to pray for you. What's your problem? So I told him about my slipped disc into my back and how painful it was because it was pressing on my sciatica nerve. And so he prayed the most beautiful prayer you ever heard. Well, the pain didn't go away right off the bat. It started easing up and going away. But on Friday, Lori went with me. I had another appointment with this neurosurgeon, and we went there, and the doctor told us that he says, there's nothing wrong with your back. He says, your backbone is in good shape as mine. So praise the Lord, my slip disc, the Lord put it back in position. But the praise testimony us. Now, actually, that I wanted to tell you about, actually, that in January, that was in June of last year, he called again in August, and I renewed for another year. And then in January, I have about 5 or 6 chickens in my backyard, and I went out to feed them. The temperature was down to about 30 degrees. And as I started to go back, and I didn't take a jacket or anything, and as I started to go back in the house, all of a sudden I got faint. Everything was starting to go black. I thought I was going to faint. I thought I was going to pass out. I got real weak. I managed to make it as far as the house and sat down in the windowsill when my cell phone rang. And it was this rabbi from Pennsylvania. And he says, Joseph, he says, the Lord has put you on my heart again. He says, what's your problem? So I told him what was happening, and he prayed for me again, and everything just went lifted right away. And I never went in the house, and it was like as if nothing ever happened. Well, I got to thinking about that afterwards, praying about it and asking the Lord, what's going on here? And I felt like the Lord was saying, I'm using you to build the rabbi's faith and healing.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
Now, it would be something if it ended there, but it didn't. Last Monday, just a few days ago, Lori and I had lunch with an associate pastor and his wife from the Cowboy Church down here that we attend on Sunday mornings. And in the course of that lunch, I was telling this associate pastor about Rabbi Ed Levin from Pennsylvania and the testimony that I just gave to you. And they appreciated it too, I think. And when we arrived home, there was a voicemail on our telephone from Rabbi Ed Levin, which is very unusual. And I called back, but he wasn't available. And then on Tuesday, he called Tuesday morning and talked to me and Lori both on our speakerphone. And I told him about the time that he was making this phone call to me, that we were with this associate pastor telling them about him. And he thought that was, he said, praise the Lord. He said, well, let me tell you the rest of the story. He says, we were in a staff meeting for the MJAA there, and he says, we were asked for testimonies. And he says, and I pulled your, I forgot to tell you, actually, last year after the healing prayer that he gave me about my back, I wrote him a little short letter and told him what had happened and gave him the testimony of how I was healed after he prayed for me. And so he had filed that away. And so Monday he pulled that testimony out and read it to the MJAA staff. And then shortly after the meeting at the staff, he received a phone call from a lady in Indiana who had a back problem. And he turned around and read my testimony to her and then prayed for her. And her back was miraculously healed on the spot.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful.
I have a whole bunch of other testimonies to tell you, but Thurman wants to preach. So.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Wow. God is pretty awesome. He's more than awesome. But last week we talked about our enemy and how he works. And like I told you last week, I wondered where the devil came from, and I wondered if what I'd heard in churches, if the enemy was doing all these bad things that he's doing, why didn't God just kill him and get rid of him? But I didn't understand that the devil was made by God and for his benefit and for his purposes, that he made the enemy. But I showed you scripture last week that confirmed that all things were made by our Lord, both visible and invisible, both dominions and powers and everything. He made everything. He made the spiritual laws, and then after he made the spiritual laws, he made an executive department to enforce the spiritual laws. And that happens to be the angelic hosts, whether they be good or bad. Both the invisible, all Satan and his host of demons is a very real group of beings. And those beings are out here to control you and I when we sin in a spiritual law. In other words, we think we drive down the highway at 75 miles an hour out here where the speed limit is 65. If we drove to Dallas or Fort Worth or wherever we were going, and we broke the law all the way, and we didn't get a ticket, we would think, well, I beat the law today. So you do that every day, back and forth, and you think, well, see, there's nobody enforcing these laws. I drive 75 from Denton to Fort Worth every day, and I never get stopped. So, you know, there's not a big deal. And so you do this for a month. And you think, well, this is no big deal. I can do this anytime I want to. And so then one day you're driving 75 and there just happens to be a police officer there. And so he comes and turns his lights on and stops you and gives you a ticket for speeding for $200. Well, guess who is upset? You are. You're upset. That guy, I can't believe he gave me a ticket. I was only driving 75. That's 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. You've broke that law every day. And you've not gotten a ticket, but you finally did get caught. Now, in the physical world, you can usually go for a while breaking the physical laws and not get caught. You know, I mean, how often do we see people that, you know, break into stores? Or it's even somebody will get killed once in a while and they never find who the guy was that did it. He got by with it. He thought, but he didn't. There was a spiritual set of beings that's with you all the time. And those beings are called Satan and his host of demons. An angelic host, they're there with you. They know what you do 24/7. You go out and commit any kind of a sin, there is a being there. And this is what's so amazing. You know, with God, you can't get by with anything. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. When you break a spiritual law of God, a demon is going to enter you. Now, I'll just give you an example of how easy this can happen to you. These beings are always with us. These spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies and these demons that walk on this earth, they are always watching over you. There has been a team of them assigned to you to watch over you. God has assigned Satan and his host of demons a chore to watch over you and to make sure you obey his spiritual laws. So, as long as you obey his laws, they can't touch you. They're there with you. But they can't touch you. Scripture is very clear to confirm that. That if you obey God and do what he says the evil one cannot touch you. And just in case you don't know where that scripture is at, it's in 1 John 5:18. That's where you can find that law. 1 John 5:18. That if you keep yourself from sin, in fact, God says his true children do not sin. But he means there that his true children do not practice sinning. Now then, you cannot be practicing sin, but you can commit a sin and still get a demon and carry that thing the rest of your life. And I'll give you an example of how that happens. Now then, first of all, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, who are we supposed to trust for our provision? The Lord, of course. He is our boss. He is our father and our brother. He is our provider. He is everything to a child of God. Now, if you're not a child of God, then you belong to the enemy. And the devil has legal right to you anytime he wants to do anything, for you're living in darkness, the scripture says. But most people don't understand that either. But anyway, when you're a child of God, you're supposed to never be anxious about anything. I mean, you're supposed to recognize that you're a child of God, that he is your father, and that he has done everything already. He is providing for you. And the way to get everything done as a child of God is through the prayer of faith. I mean, just give you an example. Cheryl and I was going to take, I have a gold car, we call it, the 97 Chrysler, and I was going to take it down to a place that we go quite often and leave it down there so we'd have a car to drive when we fly down there. Well, We drove it down there, and she drove it down there, and I drove a pickup because I was going to haul some equipment back. And that night, after we got there, we needed a water hose, so we thought we'd drive over to Walmart and get a water hose. So I rode in the car with her, and I noticed this vibration. I said, well, what's this vibration? I said, honey, slow down. And so she did, and it wasn't so bad. It's slower speed. I said, we got a CV joint going out in this car. I said, I can't believe this. Here we drove it all the way down here. And so I said, let's just go ahead in tomorrow after the reunion. Let's just take it back. We'll take the both cars back. And I said, because I don't want to leave it down here like this. It's broke. I got to fix it. So anyway, she drove about, I don't know how many miles, 30 miles or something. And all of a sudden she called me on the phone and said, honey, the car's vibrating like crazy. She said, I don't want to drive it no more. And so I said, okay, let's stop. And I said, I will drive the car. You drive the pickup. And then I prayed, Lord, show me, give me the knowledge and wisdom I need to get this thing home without an issue. In fact, I even, to tell you how much faith I have, I even called Jeff and asked him if he would meet me halfway with a truck and a trailer. You know, that tells you how much faith I had. And so then I got to thinking about what I had done. You know, I had asked them to hook onto a trailer and bring it, start that away. Because I didn't think that it would get here. And then I thought, you know, there's no faith in what I'm doing. If I have real faith, I ask the Lord to get me home, I can get home in this thing. There ain't no sense in me. I called back and told you. I said, he said, we're already on the way to pick up the trailer. I said, forget it. I said, don't do it. I said, I'm going to make it. I said, there's going to be no problem. I said, I won't need a trailer. I'm going to bring that thing home. And so I start driving that car, and I'm thanking the Lord and praising Him. Cheryl said, I can't drive over 40. It vibrates so bad, I can't drive it over 40. Okay, after prayer, I drove that car. Sometimes I got as fast as 65 miles an hour with no vibration. You know, so I lots of times I noticed I couldn't put a lot of pressure on the accelerator. I had to slack off when I started up a hill. Some of the hills when I got to the top, I wasn't going but 40. But when I get over the hill and start down, I could accelerate very lightly and there was no vibration. I got that car all the way home in prayer, asking my Father in the name of Jesus for what I needed. Now, see, that's where a Christian's supposed to live. A Christian is supposed to always ask their Father in the name of Jesus for every need they have, whatever it is. That's how we're supposed to live our life. And we're supposed to live that life in thanksgiving to Him. Well, of course, I knew Cheryl was behind me there. And she was praying. She's always praying. You know, my wife, she always prays about everything. And, of course, I was praying. And with me and her both praying, what do you think we're going to get from our Lord? We're going to get a safe trip, absolutely, because we're both praying, we're both worshiping Him, we're both walking in obedience to His Word. We try our best to be good children of God, and so He answers our prayer. So we got home with the car without a glitch. I mean, we pulled it right in, and it was perfect. But in another realm, I'm going to tell you where when you sin, like I did one time, I was just learning these principles, and I didn't really know them like I know them today. So I'm walking in obedience to God's Word, and all that I understand, I don't understand fully the enemy. This happened about 35 years ago. But I'm learning about the enemy. I'm learning of my authority and what I'm supposed to be doing. But there was a man that literally brought a piece of paper in and asked me if I'd read it, and I told him I didn't know. And when I read it, it said something like this, that if certain things were to happen within the company that I work for, they might have to close the engineering division. Now, I was director of engineering. I had a great job. I traveled all over the country running a big operation. I was responsible for millions of dollars every year in construction and all kinds of things, and had a whole bunch of men working for me. And I loved what I did. But I am supposed to trust the Lord even in that. But whenever he handed me this, and I read that, and he said, wow. I said, I wonder what's going to happen to me if they close the engineering division. Well, now, some of you would not realize that Romans 14:23. Does anybody know what Romans 14:23 says? I want them to put that on the board, and I want you to look at that. Paula, you know what that says. Romans 14:23, okay. She held up her hand, but I want you to look at this and see what Romans 14:23 says. And he that doubteth is damned. He's talking about eating there, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, how often do you think we probably sin? Everything that we do that's not of faith is sin. Is that what he said, Lou? That's what he said. Okay, so do you see where when I didn't claim that promise that I'm supposed to trust my Lord as my provider, I'm trusting my company, and the minute I voice that, what is that?
Sin.
It's sin. That's exactly what that is. It's sin. So when I sinned, when we sin as Christians, we open the door to the enemy. Now the enemy is standing right there. He's wanting to get you or your children, but he cannot until you open the door. When you open the door and sin, he comes rushing in. And when he comes rushing in, he made me sick in one heartbeat. I'm here, I am sitting here reading this piece of paper. I don't have a pain in my body nowhere. I don't have nothing wrong with me. I'm in perfect health. And all of a sudden, in one heartbeat, I have a splitting migraine headache and sinus fluid just starts pouring out of my nostrils right off of my chin, dripping on the floor. It happened that quick. And the guy that brought the piece of paper, and he said, "Good grief, Thurman, what happened to you? Did a river break loose in your head?" I thought the interview's trying to explain spiritual things to a man that's not spiritual. So I just said, "No, I'm okay." And I grabbed a Kleenex and began to blow my nose, and I handed him his piece of paper and he left. I knew what I had done. I knew I had sinned and had opened the door to an enemy. Now, this enemy, the weapons that we fight back with are not carnal. In other words, whenever the enemy attacks, I don't whip out my .45 and blow him away. It don't work. I do whip out my swords.
Yes.
Y'all know what I mean. The sword of the Spirit, right?
Amen.
That's what we cut the devil asunder with, Tommy. We cut his head off with a sword, right? That's what we do. We take the Word of God. That is our weapons that we fight back with. And first thing, when I sinned, what's the first thing you need to do after you sin?
Repent.
Boy, y'all are good students. Y'all got that down pat. Repent. That's because if you don't repent, you can't kick him out, can you?
No.
That's right. So that's the first thing. I take the sword of the Spirit. It is written in 1 John 1:9. Now, I want you to see what this scripture says in 1 John 1:9. Look at this. 1 John 1:9, what does it say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe he will do that. Is that what he said?
No.
Oh, that's not what he said?
No.
He said he will, right? If you confess, he will clean you up, right? He will restore you. See, there's so many of us, when I ask people today, I know Dave and Jeff and all of the girls, they all hear this on a regular basis. Have you confessed your sin? Oh, yes, I confess my sin every day. The same sin? Oh, yeah, I did this 10 years ago. I've confessed that. I hated it, and I've confessed that every day. Well, hey, forget it. You never have believed it yet. If you believe, I don't care what you've done. Let's just say you've just been guilty of murdering somebody. You literally killed somebody. If you repent before God one time in serious, it's done, right?
Right.
That's right. God forgives you. I mean, he tells you don't go out and kill somebody else now. Now, you may still have to pay the consequences. The physical laws of the world, that wherever you live, they may put you to death for what you did. You may go to prison, whatever. But if you ask God to forgive you for what you just done, did he forgive you? Yes, he did. And he's an awesome God. I just stand in awe at his power to forgive sin. And that's what he does. But he tells us to go and sin no more. Well, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you know, that's one of the most wonderful verses in God's Word. And when you learn that, well, the first thing I did immediately whenever the headache hit me and the sinus hit me, I knew that when I had trusted my company for my provision instead of my Lord, it wasn't the faith. And so I had sinned. And so I opened the door and the enemy came in. Now, I don't care what kind of sin you commit. You can do anything. Just like Sandra over here. Sandra now and Charlie both work for us now on a regular basis. But when she came here, she had heart problems. She didn't realize that getting out of love with herself will bring a heart attack or a heart problem on you. So they are learning how to repent of sins. And now Sandra can work 40 hours a week, and she's still blowing and going. Is that right? Is that right, man? You're a go-getter. You work 10 hours a day if you want to. And, I mean, it wasn't long ago you was on disability and couldn't do nothing. Is that right? Isn't that amazing how the Word changes you forever? The Word of God. When you get a hold of the Word and you believe it, you get well. Just like Tommy's got well, Sandra's getting well, you know, and she's just able to work and everything. But when you sin and you don't realize how simple the sin can be, who would ever dream just getting out of love with yourself could cause a heart attack? But it can. Who would ever dream that just voicing something simple like, gee, I wonder what's going to happen to me? And bam, I open a door. I sin because I'm a son of God and I'm not trusting my king. That's a sin. And so the enemy says, oh, no problem. And I can just see the enemy there saying, oh, God, do you see what your stupid little son just did? And the Lord says, I saw what he did. And so the devil says, you says I can get him now because he sinned. And he does. And he loves it. The enemy loves it when he gets into one of us. Don't you know he really loves it? And so he came in and made me sick, give me a headache and everything. And of course, the first thing I did was repent of my sins. Now, I only repented one time because how many times do I have to repent? One time. I did it seriously in faith. One time I repented. Now then, I want to show you that whenever we're talking about that scripture that Dave quoted there a while ago, our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, that scripture, we might read that. That's in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Let's just read that. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now then, well, let's read the next verse too. Let's read verse 5. Let's go a little further there. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now then, you cannot do these things if you don't have the Word of God hidden in your heart. If you're not a student of God's Word and you don't have the Scripture hidden in your heart, then you don't have any weapons. Your weapons are the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when you take the Word, you can take the Word and you can cut the spiritual beings asunder with a spiritual weapon, which is the Word of God. And we have been given all power and all authority. Now then, when I learned that all I had to do was repent of my sin, and I did, then I want to take you to Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, and I want to show you how much power you have over the enemy here. Look at this. Luke 10, 19 and 20. This is King James. Jesus is speaking. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Now, first of all, you got to know what the serpent is or who the serpent is and the scorpions. In other words, I used to read that and I'd think, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And I would think, a serpent, I'm seeing a physical thing, a serpent. And then I think about a scorpion. I'm seeing a physical scorpion. Now, I'm not afraid of a scorpion, but I have the greatest respect for both them and a snake. You know, I don't want to be close to a snake, and I don't want to be close to a scorpion. You know, I have been stung. I was raised here in Texas, and there is scorpions here, and I have seen some fairly good-sized ones. In fact, I have been stung a few times by scorpions. And let me tell you, they're painful. You know, they really don't feel good. And so, you know, I always saw this since I wasn't well-trained at all in the spirit realm. I was living in the physical realm. So when I would read this scripture, I'd read where Jesus gave me power to tread on the devil, or actually the serpent, which is a snake, and a scorpion, which is a little thing crawls on the ground. And I thought when I would read that, I would meditate on that a little while, and I just thought, well, why in the world would he give me power to tread on a serpent and a scorpion? But finally one day, I got past that, and I read the next line. And it says, and over all the power of the enemy. Well, then I begin to realize he's talking about spiritual beings. He's not just talking about a snake that crawls on the ground, because, you know, I was raised up on a farm. You know, I was raised up in the woods of Texas or in the plains of Texas or whatever you want to call it. And it was nothing. I mean, I was a real cowboy when I was 18-year-old. You know, I had a set of nickel-plated pistols, and I still got those things, you know. But I used to use those a lot. I don't use them hardly at all anymore. But I used to, every time I'd go to the pasture, I'd get the horse, I'd strap those pistols on. Man, I'm riding down there, if a big old rattlesnake jumped out there, they'd whip it out, bam, shoot his head off, no problem. You know, I mean, I was good with those things. I had no fear of a serpent. You know, I mean, if I could even hit a scorpion, if I saw a scorpion crawling on the ground, man, I could take a .22 pistol, I could shoot him, I could kill a scorpion, as little as they were. I used to really be good with a gun. You know, I used to go out on Saturday afternoon, and I'd take some of the money I'd made in the week, and I'd buy me four or five boxes of .22 long rifle shells, and you know, I'd go to the movie on Saturday afternoon and watch Gene Autry and Roy Rogers, you know. And so I'm seeing these guys do all this stuff, so I'm trying to be just like them. So when I wasn't in the movie, I'd go out there on the farm. We were out in the middle of the country, miles away from everything. I'd set me up a row of 10 cans down there, you know, and then I'd do like this, you know, bam, 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 you know, knock them cans off. And after I got to where I could knock all them cans off, I started throwing them up in the air like Gene Autry did, throw them up and draw and hit it two or three times before it got to the ground. You know, I used to be a wild kid, you know. I loved guns, and so I wasn't afraid of nothing because I had a gun and I knew how to use it. Well, when I did have, I had no idea that he was talking about serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy being a spiritual being. But as I read this, it finally soaked in. There's no telling how many times I read this before it did soak in. Behold, I, Jesus, given to you power to tread on the devil and his demons and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Wow, I thought, Lord, this is all about spiritual things. This is not about physical things at all. This is spiritual. My name is written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? You know your name's written in heaven? Oh, my goodness, if you don't know your name's written in heaven, you need to see me before you leave today. Because you might die today, and you don't want to die without your name written in heaven, do you?
No.
No, if there's anything you do not want to do, you do not want to close your eyes in death, not knowing for sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because eternity in a lake of fire is going to be a long time, folks. And we don't want to do that. But when I let this soak in on me, when I realized that I have been given all power over the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me, and then, of course, that scripture that come back to me that if I obey him, these things have to be subject to me. Now, look what he said there. Verse 20, he says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits, that's Satan and his host of demons, all of the spirits are subject unto you. A demon has to be subject to you and me? So, wow, that's good news, isn't it? So now then, when this beast is troubling me, which I did sin, and he came in, I did repent, but he ain't leaving. He enjoys being inside of my flesh. He's taken up residency inside, and he's going to be very quiet in there now, probably, because he don't want to leave. But this one wasn't very smart. He just kept on giving me a headache and a runny nose. And so, if he'd have just went away and become subdued, and my headache had went away, I might still be carrying him to this day. But he didn't. he continued to give me a terrible splitting migraine headache, and he continued to cause my sinuses to run like crazy. And so I blew my nose, and of course, after I repented, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent for not claiming you as my provider. Lord, I repent of all that. Now I'm going to walk in perfect alignment with your word. I have all power and all authority over the devil, and I am commanding that devil to leave. So as I commanded him, Satan, you host of demons, I command every one of you to come out of me. In the name of Jesus, I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. It is written in Galatians 3:13-14, I am redeemed from the curse. So you guys cannot stay in me any longer. In the name of Jesus, you have to leave in Jesus' name right now. I said, Lord, thank you for your word. It's done. But he didn't go. Now, if he didn't go, what does that mean? Did I get rid of my sin? Yes, I got rid of my sin. When I repented, the sin taken care of, right? I did that in faith. But the enemy didn't leave. Now then, how many of you know that sometimes demons, they're going to hang on just as long as they can? Paul didn't say, I'm punching them out with I'm not shooting them with my six shooter. Is that right? I'm not punching them out with my fist. What did he say? We are doing what? We're wrestling. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Now, I'm wrestling with these boys in the spirit world. I'm taking the word of God and I'm wrestling with them. I'm telling them, you have to go in the name of Jesus. And he says, make me go. Now, see, I happened to be on the wrestling team in high school. And, you know, I was almost as big as I am right now. I weighed about 170 pounds when I was in high school in my senior year. And in wrestling, I could get a guy, you know, 160 to 180 pounds. When we could just lock in mortal combat there. And, man, it's not easy to throw the other guy on the floor. I mean, you got an armful when you hook onto another man, 170, 180 pounds. And if he's young and strong like you was, man, you got a battle going on there. Y'all know where I'm coming from? It's a battle. It's not just, I mean, if it was just a punching match, you might walk up there and if it was not illegal, you know, whenever he reaches over to you, just reach up and say, bam, hit him right in the nose, knock him out. But that didn't go by the rules. Well, there's rules in the spirit realm too, you know, and so the devil, he knows the rules. And of course, we don't know the rules because we don't read the book. But I had read the book and I'm commanding this beast to leave me and he's not leaving. Of course, as I walk through the place, you know, my nose is running like crazy. I'm blowing everything. And every time I'd have to blow my nose, I'd say, you devil of hell, come out of me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, you can only imagine what people that happened to be close. They was giving me plenty of room, Tommy. They were, what is wrong with Thurman? Hey, I'm the only one that's in the right place. I mean, if you don't know, but, you know, even when I came home that night, the wife I was married to at that time, my first woman, she was not near as spiritual as I was. So when I come home, she saw this. Oh, my goodness gracious, you've got a sinus attack. We have got to get you some medicine. I said, oh, no, I ain't taking no medicine. I said, this is a spiritual problem. I have repented for my sin, and I'm kicking these devils out, and I'm going to get well. And, oh, well, you've just got the worst attack of sinus you've ever had, but we need to get you some medicine. I go to the medicine cabinet. I said, don't bother. I ain't taking no medicine. This is a spiritual problem. And so for 4 days and four nights, I rebuked that devil. I kicked him out, but he did not leave. I did never confess my sin again because I knew I had confessed my sin one time and it's done. I knew the sin issue was not the problem. So the fourth morning as I'm going to work, I am literally screaming scriptures. First of all, let me take you to Mark 16, 17, and let me show you what Jesus said in Mark 16, 17. Look what he says here. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, first of all, let me ask you a question. Are you a believing believer or an unbelieving believer? Okay, if I'm a believing believer, then these signs shall follow me. In my name, the name of Jesus, I shall cast out devils or demons. Is that right? Amen. Do you and me, when we repent of our sin, do we have the power to cast out demons? Yes, we have the power to cast them out. Now then, if I had known that I had to confess the sin, I could have cast them out from now on and never got them out. Because as long as they know they have legal right to be in you, you cannot cast out a demon. He has to know that you know your sin is confessed, and he knows that you have to know by faith that you have power over him, and until you get that in your heart, they will not leave. But when you get it in your heart, that it's written in God's Word. It is written. So it's true. I started screaming scriptures like this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And I'm a believing believer. In my name, the name of Jesus, I shall cast out devils. Now then, if I can cast out devils, and then I can take that Luke 10, 19 and 20, put it back up there. Luke 10, 19 and 20, look at this. Luke 10, 19 and 20, Jesus says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on the devil and his demons, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that those spirits are subject unto you." Those spirits have to be subject to me. So I continued to scream these scriptures out loud, driving down the road in my pickup, commanding them to leave. And all of a sudden, I said, "Now, devil, I've had it with you. I have repented of that sin. You are not going to stay in me any longer. In the name of Jesus, I command you, according to these scriptures, which I'm screaming, to go." And I reached over and hit the dash of my pickup and said, "Go in Jesus' name." And when I did, I mean, it left. And in one heartbeat, I went from a splitting migraine headache and a running nose to a dry head with no pain in my head at all. It left that quick. And when it did, it startled me. You know, I mean, I'm learning this stuff. This is new to me. I sat back in my pickup and I said, "Wow, Lord, this is awesome." And I looked up and here goes a big banner flying through the clouds. Matthew 11:12. That's all it said. Matthew 11:12. Well, I happen to know what Matthew 11:12 said, but here's what it says. "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence." First of all, where is the kingdom of heaven? It's us, in us. The kingdom of heaven is in you and I. That's where it's at. On this earth today, the kingdom of heaven is in us. So he said, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." I had just taken it by force. Now then, that's what I say. If you have a sickness that's come upon you, and you have repented for that sin one time in faith, that's all you got to do. One time. You don't have to confess it every day. You repent in faith one time. You make sure you're through with that sin. And then after that, you make sure that these scriptures mean what they say to you. And know in your heart that Jesus has given you that power and authority over the forces of darkness. Now then, if you're a woman and you're married, then the husband has to do this for you. He is your spiritual head. The woman was made for the man. The man is the spiritual head of the wife. Not just women. Men are not spiritually over women. You know, some people say, you know, "A woman, I have authority over all women." No. A woman that's a born-again Christian is your equal as a man as a born-again Christian until the two of you get married. When you get married, now the man is the spiritual head. He made you, the woman, for the man. And anytime you, the woman, have a need, you're to go to your husband. And you and your husband both are to be walking in obedience to God's word. And if you happen to pick up a demon, and I don't care, man or wife, I don't care who it is, either one of you can pick up one. You know, I mean, Cheryl and I have to pray for each other on a regular basis. Why do we have to do that? Do you reckon either one of us ever make a mistake? Do we, honey? I hate to ask us that question, but unfortunately we do, don't we? We haven't mastered being perfect yet. Do y'all know what I mean? Has anybody in here mastered being perfect yet?
No.
Oh, y'all are just like we are. You're still working on it too, huh? We're human beings.
But the important thing is that they have mistakes. They're not perfect.
That's right.
Yeah.
They're not
But anyway, we have to walk in obedience to God's word. And when we do, whenever we sin and we open the door, we repent, and then we can cast out these spirits, whatever, just like this scripture says. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. Sometimes you have to just get absolutely violent with the enemy. If you have committed some kind of a sin, I don't care what it is. It could be anything. I mean, some people, when I told them that I read a piece of paper and made a statement and that was sin, they say, Thurman, you've lost it. You're crazy. But no, where did I learn that principle? Where did I learn that spiritual law? From the Word of God. Did the Word of God say anything I do that's not in faith is sin?
Yes. Right.
Okay, so who am I going to believe? God or man?
God.
I'm going to believe God. If I do anything that's not of faith, the Word of God says it's sin. In fact, that scripture we just read, he said, if you don't eat what you eat in faith, that's sin. Isn't that something? So I wonder how many people sin when they eat. Probably a lot of us. Yeah, maybe all of us. I don't know. But the thing about it is, when we sit down, especially as a family, when we sit down to eat, the head of the house, the man, should speak a blessing over the meal. You should never eat anything that the man does not speak the blessing over the meal. And, you know, I have all kinds of women come up here and say, well, my husband won't pray over me. He won't pray out loud at home and everything else. And I hate to think that what a bunch of wimps we have for men. You know, I mean, we got a bunch of wimps out there. You know that? I mean, anytime a man that says he's saved, that can't pray a prayer over his family, that man's a wimp when it comes to the kingdom of God. You may be 9 feet tall and weigh 300 pounds and be the biggest football player there is, but if you can't say a prayer out loud over your family, you're a wimp when it comes to spiritual things. Now, you know, physical things, that's a different story, but that don't count. Spiritual things is what counts. That's where the power is at in life, the spiritual things. And when you take God's word and you claim his promises and you claim you have power and authority, after you have repented of your sin, knowing you're real in your repentance, don't say, well, I hope God forgive me for doing that. I had an abortion, or I committed adultery, or I lied to my mate, or I did whatever, and oh, I have so hated that I did that, and I've confessed that sin 100 times or 1,000 times. Well, you never believed you ever was forgiven. You need just to confess it one time and say it's done. It's done. Praise God. It's done. It's over. Now then, I know that since I've repented of the sin, I now know that Jesus has redeemed me from the curse. Well, some people don't know where this is at. Let's go to Galatians 3, 13 and 14. And I want you to see that. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has, in other words, when it says hath, it's saying Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through unbelief.
No.
Is that what it said?
No.
Okay, so was you listening?
Thanks.
Why do you think I do that? I want to know, are you listening or are you sleeping? That you might receive the promise through what?
Faith.
If you ain't got faith, are you going to get anything from God? No way. You have got to believe his promises. So Lord, since I've confessed it. It's done. Now then that I've confessed it, I'm redeemed from the curse. Because every time you sin, you get a curse from God. There's no such thing as missing a mark. You might drive, like I say, down to Fort Worth and back every day for a month at 75 miles an hour and never get a ticket. But if you keep doing that, eventually you're going to get it, right? And I got a feeling you ain't going to make it a month. There's too many police officers out there on that road. They're watching us closer than you think. In fact, to tell you how close they're watching you, I'd been out ministering to a family the other night, and I'm coming up the road up here on 1171, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And there ain't nobody nowhere, not even on the freeway. I don't even see a light on 35W. I don't see a car nowhere. I come up to 1171 and I turn right to go onto the freeway. And just as I turn right and get about halfway down there, all of a sudden there's a set of red and blue lights flashing behind me. I thought, where did that guy come from? And so I pulled over and a guy got in and come up there and he says, you didn't give a signal to turn there. I said, sir, I didn't see a car nowhere as far as I can see. He looked in, he said, you're Thurman Scrivener. I said, yes, sir, I'm Thurman Scrivener. He said, man, I've been to one or two of your healing schools. He said, praise God, a couple of questions. So we sat there and talked till 4 o'clock in the morning. Finally, his radio went off and they needed him somewhere else. He said, oh, it's been good talking to you. I'll see you later. He said, next time when you turn, give a signal. I thought, 4 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, not a car nowhere. But does the law say when you turn, you're supposed to use a signal? Did I use a signal? How many times had I done that? One time, and I got caught. One time. Could he really have given me a ticket? Sure, he could have if he'd wanted to. But I didn't get a ticket, thank goodness. But I thought, that's kind of, as he drove off, I thought, you know, that's exactly the way the demons are. They're sitting out here in the dark, and I can't see them. They're invisible. They're everywhere. Is that right? The demons, I mean, right here in this room. There's demons in this room with us right now, I guarantee you. There is good angels, there's bad angels, there's demons, all kinds of bad beings, and all they're doing is waiting for you to sin. And when you sin, they're going to enter you just that quick. They make you sick, put pains on you, do all kinds of things to you, and then when you realize you've sinned, and see, people don't understand this. I mean, I see children all the time fighting on the street or something, and if dad was there with them, they would never do this. But two bigger boys jump on a littler boy or something and beat him up and all kinds of stuff, and they think how big we are. They think they got by with something. Huh? Your demons were watching you. And you're going to wonder why the demons enter you at different points. You're going to wonder why your life goes to hell in a handbasket as you grow up. Because you don't know that there's a spiritual set of beings watching you all the time, and you don't get by with nothing. Wow. But they're there. But if you walk in total obedience to God's Word, and this is where we fail to teach our children these things, that if we will teach our children to walk in total obedience to God's Word, stay away from people that have demons. I mean, when people, and that's where God tells you to surround yourself with godly men and women. He said, if you surround yourself with people, men or boys or girls or anything else that are wicked, I tell you what, you can't move a young man, I don't care how spiritual he is, you can't move him into the house with a couple of prostitutes and two or three boys that's on drugs, and he live there in that house with them and him not get into sin.
Right.
It cannot happen. You can't fight that. I mean, you'd have to be some kind of a spiritual person. I remember a young woman one time that I knew when I was in church over in Louisville. She was a great spiritual young woman. Come to church, was in Sunday school all the time, and she met this young boy. We knew he was on drugs. I told her, I said, honey, stay away from him. She said, honey, Mr. Scrivener, I can change him. I love him. I'm going to change him. I said, honey, you wait for somebody else to change him. I said, you let some young man change him, but don't you start going with a young boy that's on drugs. I said, he will draw you aside. He will get you into drugs, and then next thing he'll have you in bed with him. I said, you believe me. I said, I know what's in that boy's heart, and it ain't good for you. She would not believe me. She continued to try to go with that boy, and it wasn't long. She was on drugs just like he was, and then it wasn't long till she come down with a disease that cost her life within about 2 years. She died as a young woman. I tried to tell her, surround yourself with godly young men and women. If you want to be blessed, you can't hang out with the scum of the world. You know that? People that are lying to you, cheating you, and using you, taking you for granted, you cannot hang out with those kind of people. They will draw you back into sin, and you will wind up on drugs and alcohol just like some of them are. Well, I'll tell you what. I learned that lesson a long time ago, and I don't hang out with that kind of people. That's why I have very few friends. If I got a friend, I guarantee you're a godly friend if you're my friend. I don't hang out with you or nothing else if you're an ungodly person. I ain't going to have much association with you because I don't want what you got. I don't want your sickness. I don't want your disease. I don't want your drugs. I want to walk in obedience to God's word, and I want to be blessed. Don't you? But that's what God told us to do. So if we do that, if we walk in obedience to his word and we've repented of our sin, then it says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That means he's already paid the price. That's why another point when Dave said he is worthy. That's another reason he's worthy, because he's already paid the price for you and me. Now, if you never learned that, just think of the people in the world that has not realized that Jesus died for their sin. And they don't believe that he did it. So they're not saved. Although Jesus did it, and the gift is free to them, and all they got to do is accept it and believe it, and then they can walk in it. And then as they do, they can live the abundant life that Christ provided on the earth right now. But if you don't know it or you don't believe it, although he paid the price, I see Jesus now following us around with a ticket to the football game, what we will call this. You know, you go down here, I've been down to not the new stadium, but the old one a few times when Tim was young. He used to love to go to football games. So I took him twice a year. That's all I go. It costs too much money. I ain't wasting my money when I can watch it on television, but he wanted to go. But I see people around there all the time that's got tickets that cost $25, but the place is sold out, so they're selling them for $50. And they're selling them, they're giving these tickets for $50, and some people jerking them up, getting those tickets that they could have bought for $25, but now they're giving $50. Just to go in and watch a couple of guys or a few guys play with a cotton picking football. And I think, here's Jesus following us around. Here is your ticket for abundant life, health, prosperity, no sickness, no disease. And we say, we don't want it. I don't want it. It's free, he says. I don't want it. Boy, are we stupid. Are we stupid, Bill? Are we stupid? I mean, here it's ours. And all we got to do is say, Lord, I'll take it. You're worthy. And he embraces you and he comes into you and you become his child. But if you're already his child and you've sinned, when you sinned, you separated yourself from him. But when you repented, you restored yourself to him. But now then, you have to come and say, okay, Lord, now that I've repented of my sin, you have redeemed me from the curse of the law. So the demon of curse that came in me, he no longer has legal right to me. So I will cast him out. And you do exactly like I did. And of course, now, the more I've learned and the greater my faith becomes, the easier it becomes to get demons out. It really is. You know, when you realize who these things are and how much power you have over them, anytime a pain or anything comes on you, you tell it where to go in the name of Jesus. Is that right? You say, Lord, if there's any kind of sin, if I've committed any kind of sin that's bringing this pain on my body, I repent. Lord, if I need to know what it is that's causing this pain on my body, Lord, show me. And I will be happy to repent, and I'll never do it again. Now, in the name of Jesus, I command this spirit of pain that's on my body to leave me and to go away in the name of Jesus. Or the spirit of crippling or whatever it is, in the name of Jesus, I command that to leave. And what's it going to have to do? It's going to have to go. Wow. Wow. My hour turns out to be too short. Wow. Praise the Lord. Well, we didn't hardly get started on this, but we're going to continue on next week. We're just barely started on this. How to change people. How to change them by prayer. Your weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. And you can use those weapons on anybody. And before we close, I'll tell you a story that I used those weapons on an 85-year-old man a few years ago. His daughter had been ministering to Daddy for years trying to get him to come to the kingdom of God. And he didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. She came to one of my healing schools one day, and she said, "Thurman, if I even mention the name of Jesus to my daddy, he cusses me out and tells me to get out of the blankety blank house." She said, "He's mean." I said, "Let's go to the throne of grace for your daddy. I'm going to use the weapons that we have." We went to the throne of grace. We worshiped and praised the Lord. And then I took authority over the spirits that's blinding his mind and commanded them to leave him and stop blinding his mind to the truth of the Word of God. Then I asked the Father in Jesus' name to send a mighty Holy Spirit into his body and begin to convict him of sin and draw him into the kingdom of God and gloriously save him. I said, "Lord, since he's 85 years old, he's never known you. I said, when you save him, I ask you to do such an awesome job that you fill him with the mighty Holy Spirit with the gift of tongues. I said, Lord, do that to him." It was only a few weeks. She called me and she said, "Thurman, the most glorious thing happened today. My daddy just come under conviction. He got saved and he's accepted Jesus and he's speaking in tongues." She said, "My goodness." She said, he owns a big ranch down in South Texas, and said, "I called our veterinary, which is a good Christian. He's witnessed to Dad a lot. Dad throws him out too. Don't nothing to do." He said, "I called him and said, you know, Dad just got saved." He said, "Are you telling me your daddy just got saved?" And she said, "Yes, he did. And he's speaking in tongues." He said, "What?" She said, "Yes, I'm here. I'm seeing it." He said, "I will be there in 10 minutes. She said, his hospital is at least a 20-minute drive away, but said he was there in nothing flat. And he come in and he saw my dad there praising the Lord, hands raised, speaking in tongues and everything else. And he said, if I hadn't seen this with my own eyes, I would never have believed this." Now then, what kind of weapons do we have? Awesome. Can we use them on disobedient people? Yes. You know, I hate to tell this, but my wife used her weapons against me. Some of y'all know the story. That's when she wanted a puppy. See, she wanted another puppy, and her puppy had died, and she wanted another one. And I told her, "Nope, we ain't never going to have another dog in the house. Absolutely never, never, never." Finally, one day, she said, "Well, what if I go out and get one?" I said, "You bring home a puppy, I'll kill it." I said, "There ain't going to be no dogs in my house." So she takes two of her girlfriends and they go to the throne of grace and say, "Lord, will you please soften Thurman's heart and make him more like Jesus so I can have a puppy?" Now that sounds like a dangerous prayer to pray for your husband, right? But see, that's a smart woman. See, a woman that's learned the Word of God. And so about 2 weeks later, she says, "Well, honey," and she said, "Lord, and you'll have to speak to him audibly because he won't never let me have a puppy unless you speak to him audibly and tell him. So, Lord, thank you for speaking to Thurman's heart and making him more like Jesus so I can have a puppy." And so about 2 weeks later, she comes and said, "Honey, has the Lord spoken to you yet?" And I said, "About what?" She said, "About my new puppy." I said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "Lily Scrivener." I said, "Who is Lily Scrivener?" She said, "That's my new puppy." I said, "No. And if he does, the answer is still no." Now, see, you can be hard-hearted and tough until the king walks in. And then Saturday night, a week later, at 11:30, I was sitting right there in my study, studying the Word, and I hear this voice, "Son?" I said, "Yes, Lord." I knew it was him. I knew it was him. He said, "Are you going to withhold from your wife what I have made special for her?" I said, "Lord, you made something special for Cheryl?" He said, "Yes, a puppy." And he said, "Are you going to withhold it from her?" I said, "No, absolutely not, Lord. Never. If you made her a puppy, she can have it." And so I get up and I can't study no more. I get up and I go to bed about 12 by this time. And Cheryl comes in. She said, "Well, did the Lord speak to you?" I said, "About what?" She said, "My puppy." I said, "Yes, he did." And the answer is yes. So she runs in and prints off this little picture of this little 1.5-pound black puppy on the internet that she'd already found. And we go get her. And now that little thing's 2 years old, weighs about 5 pounds. She's full grown. And that mean old hard-hearted guy that's never going to have another dog sleeping in his house, guess where she slept last night? Right there on my pillow, right beside me. Snores in my ear. Now, what can God do? Can he change any man's heart? If you get somebody who can pray the prayer of faith, he can change any man's heart. Cheryl has learned how to use those weapons. Yeah. I thought to myself, I taught her too well.
Yes.
Praise God. Are we glad we know we have those weapons? Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, oh yeah. This morning as she was laying in my lap while I was studying in there in my office, I'm stroking her, just petting her, laying there on my legs, thinking, Lord, you are so awesome to think you made this beautiful little thing for my wife and me. You know, she is precious. I love her too. I mean, I think, wow, how good God is and how he can move on a heart, how he can change a heart or he can fix it and make it brand new. Can he, Sandra? But see, you've got to learn the promises of God and stand on them, right? Wow. Well, Father, we praise you and thank you for the beautiful day. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for these weapons that you've given us. We thank you for providing us with good health, long life, and prosperity. We are thankful that you're a mighty God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, Lord, as we go forth this week, I ask you to move on our hearts, challenge each one of us to be about your business, to live holy and walk in obedience to your word. Lord, we want to be blessed. Everybody wants to be blessed. But, Lord, help people to realize they can only be blessed when they obey your word. And, Lord, help us this week to obey your word, because we do want to obey it so we can continue to live and be a blessing to others. Thank you, Father, for bearing our sickness, our pain, and removing our disease so we don't have to bear it. I praise you and thank you that you're the King of kings, and I praise you and thank you that you've given us all power and all authority over the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.